Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Also, remember, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, I received a call from my good friend Elijah Wijaya. He is the person to whom I dedicated Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and the Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. And I want to remind you of his exhortation during that phone call. He exhorted you and I to do three things. I have put this into practice, and I hope you will as well. First of all, to pray three times a day, which is precisely what the early church was in the habit of doing, like Daniel, who prayed morning, noon, and night. So too, we are to pray for God's hand of mercy in the midst of the present coronavirus pandemic. Secondly, he exhorted us to pray three times a day for 21 days. Why? Because as in Daniel's day, there are strongholds that need to be broken. Daniel not only prayed three times a day, but prayed and fasted for 21 days. And the beauty of praying three times a day for 21 days is very difficult to overstate. Just one of the many blessings that you will accrue is that if you pray three times a day for the entirety of 3 weeks, you will establish an unbreakable pattern for the rest of your days. Thus, long after the coronavirus has run its course, you will have gained a manner of prayer that is life transformational. The third exhortation from Elijah was to pray in one accord, which accords gloriously with the high priestly prayer of Jesus as chronicled in John chapter 17. Jesus said, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." And those are the operative words, that the world may believe. Unity around the essentials of the historic Christian faith is the greatest antidote to the cultural captivity of the contemporary church. The manifestation of the uncreated, inexhaustible energy supply that alone is sufficient to save the world. So once again, in accord with Elijah's exhortation, pray three times a day for 21 days and pray in one accord with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that the world might believe. Well, today early in the morning, I opened USA Today and I saw an article that, well, set my blood to boil. It was titled, "Oldest Animal Ancestor Was a Worm." It went on to say that scientists have discovered a fossil of our earliest ancestor, a tiny, a worm-like creature that lived about 555 million years ago. Well, why does that make my blood boil? Because if true, if you really evolved from a worm, then it's completely legitimate to say, as do name-brand evolutionary naturalists, "I have no meaning. I suck." Their words, not mine. "There's no purpose to life. I'm purposeless. There's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad." On the contrary, if you and I are created in the image and likeness of God, if we are destined to become God-like, transformed into the likeness of God, our lives not only have purpose in the present, but eternal purpose as well. In other words, articles like "My oldest ancestor was a worm" strike at the very core of our humanity. If you evolve from a worm, if you're the evolutionary byproduct of random processes, if the physical facts fix all the facts, then as the vaunted evolutionist Dr. Alex Rosenberg opined, it's hard to see how there could be any room for moral facts. Why? Because if Darwinism is true, then anything goes. And as Rosenberg said, we need to face the fact that nihilism is true, that there are no intrinsic moral values. But what Darwin predicted is hardly evidenced by the fossil record. We're now more than 160 years after his publication of The Origin of Species, and the fossil record has greatly expanded, and finds like this alleged ancestral worm only highlight the deficiencies in the fossil record. Ironically, Darwin himself said it best. He said that the distinctiveness of specific forms and they're not being blended together by innumerable transitional links is a very obvious difficulty. As complex as a worm may be, and even worms are complex, it is far too complex to have originated apart from purposeful design. In other words, this new discovery says absolutely nothing about the origination of the vast genetic and epigenetic information required to account for the radical diversity we see in the Cambrian explosion. The abrupt, the simultaneous appearance of a wide array of complex body plans signals the infusion of a vast amount of information that can only be attributed to an intelligent designer. So Darwin's Tree of Life, as an icon, does appear in The Origin of Species, but only to persuade the gullible that all species are, as Darwin himself put it, lineal descendants of some few beings which lived long before the first bed of the Cambrian system was deposited. At the root of the tree is a handful of organic building blocks. At the tip of its budding branches, well, you find all the modern species. The tree, of course, is proven to be patently incorrect. Why? Because in the geological period designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly and fully formed. As Oxford zoologist Richard Dawkins acknowledged, it is as though the fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. Well, of course, that's exactly the case. Darwin's Tree of Life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, but the fossil record in general shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. And those are the twin altars at which the evolutionist worships. Now, we can curse the darkness. We can also build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And that is precisely what I encourage you to do, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. As indicated at the outset of this broadcast, the announcer said that I am committed, passionately committed, to providing answers to proper biblical interpretation, to countering cults, but I'm passionately committed to far more than that. I'm committed to teaching people that while truth matters, life matters more. And I write about that in my book, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, and I hope that that passion rubs off on you. Because apart from the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life, it is very difficult to get through tragedies like the coronavirus. But you and I can weather this storm like all other storms because our faith, our focus is not fixated on things below, but on our eternal reward above. We are coming to a station break. On the other side of the break, your questions, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Has Jesus been misquoted? Skeptics like Bart Ehrman have caused thousands of people to doubt or depart their faith based on the claim that biblical manuscripts cannot be trusted because they have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the new film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans debunks this fallacious claim and demonstrates that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back to answer more questions. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to Monty, listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Monty.
Yes, hello, Hank. Thanks for all you do. I appreciate it. I've listened to probably hundreds of your programs. I'm not sure that I've ever heard this question that I'm about to ask. You know, we're told many times in the Bible, throughout the Bible, to love God. And I believe it was a psalmist that said, you know, that he delights in all of Jehovah's ways, all of God's ways. But I think as with a person, there may be people in our life that we love them, but we just don't really like them very much. We don't like a lot of their ways, the way they conduct themselves and so forth. So my question is, I love God. I especially love his creative works, the promises that we have, the word that he's given us. But I don't, and I love being obedient. I love the kind of life that being obedient to God has produced in me over the years. But there's so many things about God's ways that I really don't like very much. And I'm not really asking for an explanation of why he allows evil or why it's taking so long to bring the new heavens and new earth. It's just, the question is, am I in some sort of sin if I love God, but yet just don't like him very much? Or at least not like all of his ways. Is that wrong?
I don't think there's any question that it's wrong. To know God is to love God. And the very thing that you and I were created for is fellowship in the divine Trinity. And so we, to the extent that we loathe God in any way, whatsoever, fail to recognize his greatness and his goodness. So the fault never lies in God. The fault always lies in us. To know God is to love God. And I was thinking, as you mentioned the psalmist, of a poignant and profound psalm in this regard, where David said, I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. And then David talks about the cords of death that entangled him, the anguish of the grave that came upon him, and how he was overcome by trouble and sorrow. And what did he do? He didn't loathe the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord, and he said, O Lord, save me. He might just as well have said, O Lord, transform me. Give me a new and a better valuation of things. But David went on to say that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is righteous, that God is full of compassion, that the Lord protects even those who are simple-minded or simple-hearted, and that whenever we are in great need, he is there to save us. And that is certainly true in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. And so once more, it is the soul of the psalmist that says that the Lord has been good, that the Lord has been gracious, that the Lord has been merciful, that the Lord delivers our soul from death, that he saves our eyes from the sting of tears, that he keeps our feet from stumbling. What is there not to love? Of course, we want to, as David said, walk before the Lord in the land of the living, even though we're greatly afflicted, that we may experience dismay, we must say that our very thoughts, or the thoughts of those who say that God is not wonderful and beautiful and gracious and good, those thoughts are lies. And those who communicate them, this is stark, but it is from the Word of God, are liars. And then David, in coming to a true valuation of things, says, how can I repay the Lord for all his greatness, for all his goodness to me? And he says, I'll lift up the cup of my salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll fulfill my vows to God in the presence of everyone watching. Precious in the sight of the Lord is even the death of the saints. So David says, I'm truly your servant. You have freed me from the chains. And those would include the chains of our misapprehensions and misunderstandings of God. And so at the end, David sacrifices a thank offering to God, and he calls on the name of the Lord. He fulfills his vows to the Lord, and in the midst of the people of God, in the midst of Jerusalem, praises the Lord. So again, Monty, there's no loathing God. There's only loving God. The loathing comes from a misapprehension and from a lack of unity with God that comes when you are in the house of God, when you partake of the graces of God, and when you are transformed day by day, such that the love only grows more, more strengthened and more poignant and more profound over time, because the more you know about God, the more you love God.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I just don't know that I'll ever, with any amount of study or anything, that I'll ever be able to like. I don't like the word loathe too much, but if I'll ever be able to like the fact that two people rebelled 6,000 years ago, and billions have had to suffer, even the earth itself has had to suffer, and many, many of those people, probably the majority of them, never heard about Jehovah or Jesus or anything.
Yeah, but that is,
that is setting up, I don't know if I'll ever be able to like that.
Yeah, but that's setting up a straw man. And that's the problem, Monty. We set up straw men. First of all, I won't quibble about the time frame that you just gave, but the fact of the matter is, God created all beings, all volitional beings, in such a way that they could choose. And without that choice, love is rendered meaningless. So God didn't simply create us so that we were incapable of doing anything but loving him, which would not be love. It would be compulsion. God created us in such a way that we could choose to love him. And out of that comes all of the sin and the suffering that we find in this world. But out of all of that comes the best of all worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin, a world in which we will grow in grace and goodness forever and ever. And I would also add that it is short-sighted to only mention to fall and to forget what happens in redemption, because in redemption, Christ not only comes to this planet, but between his death and resurrection, he proclaims victory to those who are held captive, meaning that the entirety of humanity can respond to the gospel of God's goodness and grace. So God never creates us in a vacuum so that we have no chance to believe, so that we have no chance to repent. God gives all of us that opportunity. And of course, God, as I have said many times, gives us the light of creation, the light of conscience, and he has given us the wonderful light of Christ who came. He preached redemption to all of us, not only those on this planet, but also those who are in the nether regions, so that they might, in fact, believe. Sorry for the preaching. I got impassioned over that very poignant question. But to know God is to love Him, and God does all things not only well, but in perfection. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And also remember that I am deeply grateful to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth, those who make this broadcast a reality.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.